At Capella University, learning the right skills could make a difference. That's why our business programs teach you relevant skills you can take from the courseroom to the workplace. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined now by the author of Zero Sum, Charles Hecker, which offers a sharp and insightful look at Russia's economic transformation and its impact on global business. With decades of experience in Russia, from the turbulent 1990s to the collapse of Western business in 2022, Hecker offers us a unique perspective on the highs, lows and lessons for business in volatile markets. Charles, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for having me, Bobby.
Now, coincidentally, I was out in Moscow in the early 1990s, and I was there for 3 weeks, 2 weeks after the first McDonald's opened, and I'll never forget it.
Very, very exciting times. The 1990s were a period in Russia that I don't think will ever be repeated anywhere else on the planet. It was exciting, it was turbulent, it was a little bit scary, but it was never, ever boring.
Yeah, well, my memories of that time were, you know, I was involved with a company that were building retail outlets on the main street in Moscow. It was related to Arianta here, but we were feeding the builders, and I used to have to sleep in a storeroom at night to make sure all our goods weren't pilfered. I paid for taxis with cigarettes, and I just remember it being like a wild west of the 90s.
You're absolutely right. I mean, this was a time when the market in Russia was really just getting up on its feet, and everything was sort of seat of the pants and kind of primitive. But Western brands were absolutely piling into Russia. The market potential there was enormous. This was a time of very rapid globalization. Russia was the newest and the hottest emerging market on the scene. And, you know, Russians couldn't get enough of Western consumer products. And Western businesses were more than happy to feed that appetite.
Yeah. And then it accelerated massively if we go through the 90s, through the noughties, where, you know, the insatiable appetite, as you say, for Western brands really exploded. But was it led? Was there a lot of corruption around that?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. There were different types of corruption through the 90s and then through the early 2000s. In the 1990s, Russia was almost a sort of lawless country. I mean, the law and order of the Soviet Union had disappeared, and with it, sort of law enforcement had crumbled. And if you were there, you probably also noticed that the streets were very criminalized, business was very criminalized, and people were talking about the Russian mafia. And so business was, in some respects, certainly dangerous. And Western companies were constantly having to sidestep corruption. In the 2000s, that corruption became incredibly formalized, and then the government began to step in and get in on the game. And some of the street criminals and the more brutal forms of organized crime of the 1990s, you know, those people started wearing expensive suits. And in the 2000s, those were folks who then had some senior government positions.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing, really. And then, so it all really happened. Well, I know it's over a period of decades, but it seems they went from, you know, from nothing to this explosion of commerce. And again, all those growing pains, you know, were explicitly sort of shown that they just basically fueled crime.
Yeah, it's really remarkable to think. I mean, if you can cast your mind all the way back, I mean, at the end of the Soviet Union and even in the early days of the Russian Federation, people in the country were having difficulty putting food on the table. I mean, the economy was in a complete state of collapse. And then over this story, and you're right, it's been decades, it's been a full generation. And over the course of this story, you know, that street that you were working on in downtown Moscow later became the home to, you know, dozens of designer boutiques and some of the world's most expensive stores and brands. And so we went all the way from not having food on the table to having, you know, jewelry stores selling watches and diamonds and luxury goods of immeasurable price. And it was just incredible to see a country go through that entire cycle.
And there was a Russian influence felt, particularly, I suppose, in the last decade, right across Europe, when this wealth, some of it really ostentatious, was sort of manifesting itself in San Moritz and Cannes and these type of places.
That's right. So the other end of the story, and that also started sort of more after the 2000s, was not only just Western business people rushing into Russia, sorry for the pun there, but it was also Russians coming to Western Europe. And that was as holidaymakers, and it was as business people. It was buying properties all over Western Europe, especially in places that were a little bit warmer in the winters. And then, of course, you know, the hugely sort of famous arrival of Russian companies on the London Stock Exchange, the purchasing of properties in London's Knightsbridge and Mayfair. And so not only did we all go to Russia to do business, but Russia also came to the West to do business here with us.
And then if we come to today and the effects of the Ukraine war, again, it's been another huge upheaval, probably not for the good of Russian business.
Well, no, that's exactly right. So what you have over these decades is, you know, the intertwining of Russian and Western business. And that is all the investment that we put into Russia. And then Russia's integration as a supplier of energy, as a supplier of raw materials and metals, minerals and mining. And you know, Russia became a very important supplier to a lot of large Western companies. And then the full-scale invasion of Ukraine breaks out and triggers the incredibly painful separation of the Russian economy from the international economy. I mean, the two countries, the two sides, rather, are not entirely separated, but there was a very painful pulling apart as a result of all the sanctions that the West put on Russia. And so all of these decades of investment have been gradually and very painfully unwound.
Yeah. And like we saw, you know, examples of big companies, you know, some even fast food chains literally having to just walk away from their business.
That's absolutely right. I mean, companies left in a lot of different ways. The companies that left Russia earlier were probably the ones that got out without having to pay too much and with their reputations largely intact. But then as the war ground on and as the Kremlin made it increasingly difficult for companies to leave Russia, that's when a lot of companies left an awful lot of money on the table as they tried to get out of, you know, a country that was an aggressor in the war on Ukraine.
So with this, I suppose, dramatic economic highs and lows, where does it bring us today? The war is still going on. The Russian commerce has probably been mortally wounded, I'd suggest, in terms of, but what happens next?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. The Russian economy is in increasingly deep trouble. And the real pressure on Russia in the war on Ukraine is not necessarily militarily or with soldiers or with equipment or with weapons. It's the pressure on the Russian economy. And that is increasing, you know, with every week and with every month and with every quarter. I guess, you know, we are all anticipating some sort of change in the trajectory of the war, you know, with the arrival of the Trump administration in January. And of course, President-elect Trump has made a lot of noise about trying to wind this war up very quickly. You know, he's promised during the campaign to end the war in a day. That's not going to happen. That is really quite literally impossible. But we'll see some sort of attempt at a ceasefire. The question going forward from a business perspective is when and whether anybody can go back. And there'll be two big questions to answer there. The first one is if and when there will be sanctions relief and when the West, you know, the United States, the UK, the European Union, when they'll remove those sanctions on Russia. And history shows us that sanctions are very easy to impose and extremely difficult to remove. And then the second question is, you know, what have all of these companies learned from their experience in Russia? And the ones that were, you know, that ran from Russia or that were chased out of Russia or that had to pull out, you know, intentionally, you know, what's the appetite going to be among these companies to go back in? And I think that's going to be the super interesting process to watch.
Yeah. And I don't know what your take on Putin is in terms of him being pro-business. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, during the Putin presidency, Western business investment in Russia absolutely boomed. And Russia every year had a very famous economic forum in St. Petersburg that attracted, you know, dozens and dozens and hundreds of international executives. Putin has supported the Western businesses that remain in Russia to this day. He said, you know, stay here, do what you want, and you're welcome. But really, you know, for the companies that left and for their Western countries, for their home countries, for Putin, these are now enemy countries. They are unfriendly territory. And so the rhetoric has changed, and his position towards the West in general is obviously, you know, infinitely more hostile now. For that to change, he's going to have to do quite a reversal. And I'm wondering how he pulls that off and if he can do that.
Well, it's a fascinating story of wealth, of poverty, of commerce. And it's really been a pleasure talking to you, Charles. That's Charles Hecker there, author of Zero Sum.
Bobby, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
At Capella University, learning the right skills could make a difference. That's why our business programs teach you relevant skills you can take from the courseroom to the workplace. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.